Rockers in Recovery Media is dedicated to carrying the message of addiction recovery through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community.
Hey, John Hollis with Rockers in Recovery. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Our next event that's coming up is the Free Love of Recovery Music Festival, September 9th, 2017, from 12 to 5 p.m. at Kirby Park in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Looking forward to going up there. Tonight, our guest is Ken Seeley. We are also going to be speaking with a good friend of ours, Daniel Holt, that will be playing at the festival. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, man. I'm glad to have you back. Always a pleasure to have you on the air with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited. Looking forward to our talk tonight.
You know, we've gone through just about everything. I mean, we've done live interventions on the air together. We've talked about the constructive way of doing interventions. We've done a lot of different things together over the years and talked about a lot of different things. What is it for you? And we picked the title based on something that you're going to be doing and you're working on right now, actually. It's Lost in a Circle of Lies. What is that all about? Can you elaborate on it?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, the insanity of, you know, the way families and the addict, you know, the way they deal with their addiction, they don't even see it as being lost in the circle of lies, and being able to bring some clarity to them and helping them see through to see the light at the other side is really my dream. That's my passion, is because they're just so enmeshed in the chaos that they're not seeing that they're in the circle of lies. They're not seeing that, you know, one lie turns into the next lie that turns into the next lie. And then, you know, and just think of, you know, all the addicts out there that are dealing with it. You know, they have to tell a little white lie, and then all of a sudden they just, you know, one little white lie turns into big lies because they don't know how to get out of it. So they just spiral down the drain until they end up dying.
Here's one of the things, and I seen a post you put out today, and it you know, put some clarity to some things. But you had put out a video on Twitter, and you know, you were talking about how the whole family has to be assisted. It isn't just about, you know, yeah, the addict needs to go to treatment, but the whole family needs to go through this process because they're caught up in the lies too, and they're sharing the lies also.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, if you saw the episode just last night, I mean, the family, here she is, you know, prostituting out of their house, using in their house, in the parents' house. And, you know, the lies that they tell themselves that they're doing the right thing, they can't even see that they're not doing the right thing. That's how blinded they are within all the lies.
Do you? And last night's episode was excellent, by the way. And it always is. You guys just came out with, you got several new episodes that you came out with, correct, on A&E, on intervention?
Oh, yeah. Yep, the new season kicked off last night.
So can you give us a little insight or what's coming up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of good stories. Well, I think what's happening, though, you know, I've been doing part of the show since 2005. So in the 12 years that the show's been on the air, the disease is getting worse, and we're seeing the numbers grow. So it's, you know, it's pretty apparent there that, you know, watching the numbers grow to, I think it's up to 160 people a day in this country dying. So you see the numbers growing. But what I really see that's happening is the dysfunction of the family, because you're getting these millennials that are coming out, and the parents have never told their kids no, and so they never heard the word no in their entire life. And now when you say, no, you can't do drugs, they just fight it. They're just like, I don't care what you say, I never heard no. And so to put a healthy boundary or consequences into place is so foreign for them that they're like wild animals being captured in a, you know, in a cage. So they're not used to that. They're used to having that free spirit, free will of doing whatever they want, whenever they want. And now to be told they can't do drugs, it's like speaking another language to them, and they're just, they don't get it. They just don't see it.
Or the behaviors. I mean, just, you know, listen, we all know that the use is the symptom of the real issue. And you know, the real issues are, you know, could be mental health issues, could be a lot of other things. But 9 times out of 10, from what I'm seeing, you know, when you go, listen, I belong to a 12-step organization. I walk into a meeting. I sit down, you know, and what I see is young people on their cell phones texting and, and, you know, I mean, listen, not for nothing, and a 12-step approach isn't for everybody, but if you're going somewhere and you want to get better, then you want to pay attention. You know, it's just like little things like that. You know what I mean, Kev?
That's what I mean. They're not serious about it. They, you know, and I think another part of it is they haven't had the life experiences. I mean, I didn't get sober until I was 27, 26. So, you know, at that age, I already got fired from a couple of jobs. I already, you know, got kicked out of the military. I already had DUIs. These kids at, you know, 16 to 20, they don't have those life experiences under their belt. So they're the ones that are not paying attention. They don't want to be in a 12-step program. They don't want to be sober, you know. So you're sitting there telling them that this is the way their life has to be, and they can't have the fun that they had. They're going to start creating all kinds of lies and manipulation to get away from that so they could get into the what makes them comfortable the quickest and the fastest way, and that's getting loaded.
Wow. Yeah, I think that I've watched the whole process since 2009. I think the first one of the first shows that we did was, you know, kids finding – you know, opioids in their parents' medicine cabinet or grandparents' medicine cabinet. And, you know, the whole struggle starting with kids even being put on by doctors, being put on opioids. Here we are, fast forward, you know, several years later, you know, 7, 8 years later, and this epidemic has taken its toll on the millennials and the new generation of addicts that are, as you said, you know, it's, they've been tied up in some of these cases since they were 13, 14 years old, maybe from a sports injury, and some doctor decided to give them some Oxycontin. And here we are, years later, we're paying the price for it now, and those death tolls are growing. Is there a way out of this? I mean, can you see a way out of this? Because, I mean, listen, there's a lot of people running around right now scratching their heads trying to figure it out.
Well, I think that's what I talked about in the video that you saw today, you know, and that's what, when you asked about what the new episodes are going to be like, you know, just like to last night's episode, I mean, they're more dramatic because people, you know, are just so enmeshed in the disease and in the chaos. So pulling people out of that chaos and that enmeshment is really what we're talking about here. And I think what you saw in that video today is an intervention is not an intervention on the client that's doing drugs. An intervention is on the family system. Who loves that person more than anyone in the world? Who are the closest people to that individual? Who are the first three rows of that wedding that they're gonna have if they're lucky enough to get to that point in their life? Who would those people be? And gather those people and intervene on them. Because if they change their behavior, we're going to get a sober person out of that. It's about changing that. And if I can't, like in last night's episode, I, no matter how many times I said it, no matter how patient I was, no matter how compassionate and the empathy that I have, because I just love those parents. They were like some of my favorite. They were elderly parents, and I just loved working with them. But no matter how I communicated it to them, they couldn't hear it, that they had a role.
Well, they couldn't understand
the addiction. What's that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, and I said it was almost like they couldn't understand it. They just were like deers in it, you know, like a deer in the headlights.
Yes, and even after when we did this Skype interview and we talked to them that way, and I just reiterated many times, even, you know, phone calls many times when she left treatment and she pulled the alarms and talking to them. And I'm saying, you got to change. You got to change. You got to change. No matter how many times and how often I said it or how I said it, being more direct with them, being more compassionate with them, no matter any way that I try to communicate it, they couldn't hear it. And that's the message I want to get through tonight, is that if the people that love them the most could change their behaviors, change what they're doing, and have an awareness and an open mind enough to say, okay, maybe something I am doing is enabling the disease. And maybe there is something I could do to change just a little bit in order to get the different behavior from them. Because what they're doing in their behaviors is continuing to feed the disease, or else they wouldn't be this sick.
Amazing, man. That's, you know, and you think about what you just said. If they did take control of what was going on in their own behaviors, and they have to take control of that. They have to start saying, hey, listen, no, that can't happen. No, you can't do that. And have some consequences behind it, because if there's no consequences, sooner or later, you're going to have what we have right now. It just gets worse.
And that's where we're at today, and that's why I believe, like, if you see a two-year-old toddler walking towards a street, and you're a parent, and you're taking care of that kid, you're going to say, don't walk in that street. And you're going to say, don't, as many times as it takes so that kid doesn't walk in that street because there's traffic there. This is the same exact thing. You got to continue to say no, and you have to have a zero tolerance with no gray area. It has to be black and white. No, you use, and this is what's going to happen. That kid walks in the street? No. If you walk in the street, this is what's going to happen. And you got to start putting a door in front of it, you know, or putting a gate up in front of the street, in front of the line. So there's got to be things that you do differently so that toddler doesn't walk in that street. And that's the same exact mindset that they have to be in, that what they're doing is allowing them, like that family was allowing her to do drugs in their house. They were allowing her to prostitute. And they kept saying, well, if I don't do this, then she's going to go out there and she's going to kill herself. Well, she's killing herself in your house.
In closing, Ken, because we're going to have to close here, but one of the things I want you to do is take a couple of minutes and just please, you know, if there's somebody out there, there's a family member out there suffering with a loved one, because they suffer too. Or there's an addict out there that might be suffering that's listening tonight or may be listening to this in the future as an archive, what would you say to them?
You know, reach out and get some help. Let's find out how we could help people. You know, we were able to get, you know, case management and a recovery assistant covered under most insurance plans. Let somebody work with you and give you the guidance. You know, don't do this alone. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Reach out and pick up the phone and get some help. There's a lot of good help out there, and people want to help, but you have to make the first step by picking up that million-pound phone and dialing that number to get the help.
Absolutely. You know, I want to thank Ken for being on the phone with us tonight, and, of course, it is Ken Seeley at Ken Seeley at Facebook, correct? Is that the Facebook at Ken Seeley? Sorry about that. You can check out Ken there. You can also check out Ken at his website. What is your website, Ken?
Intervention911.com.
There we go. And Ken, again, thank you so much. We look forward to having you back with us. You know, we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary for Rockers in Recovery in January, so maybe we can get you back and have you hang out with us at the 10-year celebration.
That would be great, and congratulations on that. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Congratulations on all you do. I mean, you've been out there for a long time. You've helped thousands of people, and it's amazing that one day at a time, God's given us a gift to be able to give back. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, thanks again, John. I really appreciate everything you do and being part of your show.
Well, I appreciate you being on, Ken. We'll talk soon, and we want to get some updates, towards the middle part of the season, and we'll talk some more if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, brother. Thank you for being on. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye now.
All right, guys. There you go. Ken Seeley. Great guy. And go to intervention911.com. Find out more information. You can find Ken Seeley at Ken Seeley on Facebook. You can also check out the A&E Intervention every Monday night, 9 p.m. Ken's on there and working to help addicts and working to help families. And he's a great guy. My next guest is a great guy, too. His name is Daniel Holt. He's a bass player, and he's been clean and sober since 10-10-98. What's happening, brother?
Hey, John. Great to hear your voice.
Hey,
I wish,
man.
I was there with you.
I'm going to be seeing. I wish you were, too, bro. Hey, listen, I hear we're going to Wilkes-Barre. That's right. We're going
to Wilkes-Barre. I'm excited.
Yeah,
you're bringing the show to Pennsylvania and reaching even more. Did I get that right? Is Clearbrook one of the producers?
They're actually one of the they're one of the production sponsors.
Oh, man.
That's making it all happen. So you have
Met some successful alumni from Clearbrook that had good things to say about it. They had a lot of gratitude for it, and when I noticed it on the, I put one and one together, got 11, and went, "Oh, hey, excellent!" It takes a while.
You know, it's amazing because we have our mainstays that help us. May it be like, Clearbrook is not only somebody that sponsors the events, but they're also, somebody that is a media partner. So there's two types of partners with us. There's the media partner that makes this possible, me and you and Ken getting on the air. And, almost, 1,800 episodes later since 2008, we've had, the opportunity by places like Clearbrook over the years to keep the message on the air and keep it running. And then when we go out on the road, we have organizations like Clearbrook that step up to the plate again and help us to put on the live events, along with, like the Lyle from the Shores and, Debbie from Atlantic Biotech. All of these folks make this happen. So that way we can go into an area. We can have a free event and invite the whole community, have some people there to answer questions, and we also invite three nonprofits from the area. This year it is, it's a cool thing. This year,
I love how you're tying stuff together nationwide and bringing more and more people into the game, into the program, under an umbrella, and getting it together and introducing it to more and more people and spreading. I mean, you get a guy like Ken, who sounds like, he's really out there trying, and it goes from the individuals right up to the big players in the game, and more, it just, it's blooming, and I love that.
You know what I've found, and this is the cool part,
what have
Rockers in Recovery, when we started Rockers in Recovery in 2008 as a radio show, here we are, 10 years later, going on 10 years later, by the grace of God, one of the things that has springed off of it is that a lot of people now use music at their events.
Yeah.
A lot of people are now using radio to carry a message.
Yeah.
Back when we were doing it, the first 4 or 5 years that we were on radio, may it be on the AM dial or online, wherever we were at, doing our radio shows, there wasn't a whole lot of us out there doing it. I mean, it was like one or two. You know what I mean? And we got slammed every day. We heard things like, you're breaking traditions. You can't do that.
What do you think you're doing?
Well, you can't talk about recovery. That's that word's a trademark for 12 steps. I heard it all.
It keeps getting better and better,
Yeah, man.
Does.
Now
it's just
amazing.
And now there's so many people who want to jump in. I mean, it's a big hot topic issue, and it's booming and booming and booming, and everyone needs it. And you bring it right there into town, not just in the big cities. The wonderful thing is that you're hitting out in the areas that, you know, haven't been introduced and don't people aren't aware of the resources and the possibilities and the help available and the businesses that want to be involved and the companies and the, oh, my God. It just keeps growing, man. I love that. Look at this.
I mean, think about it. And for people that are listening to the show right now, kind of a cool thing. Daniel was at the very first Rockers in Recovery Music Festival, and that was in 2011, and hence 27 productions later across the United States. He comes to several of them periodically when he can make it, and he will be with us September 9th, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Kirby Park. Hey, you know, give us a little information on you. And tell us, you know, what brought you to a point, because there's somebody listening in right now that might need to hear this. What happened to you that brought you to a point that said, you know something, I'm done?
Deep, dark desperation, hopeless. Hopeless and sick and couldn't... It's amazing disease when it tells you that, you know, it's okay to... just use until you die, and there is no hope, and there's no way out. And I know, you know, a lot of people say, oh, my disease wants to kill me. I didn't find that to be true. My disease wanted me to suffer, man, and just continue suffering one day at a time, homeless, helpless, and struggling. And that's how my disease liked me, because I could never kill myself. It never worked. Mm-hmm. And, that was it, man.
I get that. I can relate to that.
And I just surrendered everything. I went, you know something? I have to put my hands in the hands of a detox hospital, and I will do whatever the people say afterwards, because I can't go back to that. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm okay today, and I'll just let them give me an idea. They said, go to meetings. They said, check out a treatment center. They said, do this, do that, do that. And I said, well, whatever. You know, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know what that hell I got out. All of a sudden, there was a little bit of hope, you know? Mm. All of a sudden, I wasn't using and struggling and suffering on a daily. It was a whole new mess, but at least it was something different, and I was okay.
<That's>
it was like an amazing
thing,
you know?
That is actually pretty true. As a musician, when did you start to, you know, reacclimate with your music back into, you know, with your recovery?
Oh my God! Last, you know, you had that Hootenanny excellent RIR thing out there in Maine, and I got to talk to Andy, and he was fantastic, and we shared the same thing. It was very scary after being clean and sober for a while. Actually try to get back into music. Oh, but man, I found the love of it. It was just fun, that's all. There was no more big hopes, big dreams, and big expectations, and big all this other crap. It was just for the love. Just for the love of making some noise.
Make
and
the
that,
noise, baby.
The whole new perspective of doing things just for love and enjoyment without all the other things that go on, you know. When I get rid of my expectations, when I get rid of my, I walk through the fears and the pleasures at the same time and just enjoy it. It's amazing.
Yeah, man.
I love talking
to
other musicians
too,
and other people, because it's the same thing. How to get back in life now that I have no life.
But, hey, listen, I got to tell you, you know, at one point of my life, having no life was really, really something that bothered me. Now,
right?
I guess it's because I went over 50, I'm like, this is cool. I have no life.
Yeah. It's almost like I boast about it now. They're like, oh, man, can you chair the meeting tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, I got no life. What the hell? And it's such a wonderful no life. You know that? It's beyond my wildest dreams. It's been so amazing. The other side of that complete surrender, the other side is so amazing, no one would believe it, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah,
only us, millions in recovery that are living a wonderful life on a daily. Gratitude.
You know, it's funny because, you know, what I don't know if you realize or not, but sometimes people at the fest that are, you know, that they come, they're family members or they're just people from the community, they're in amazement that we can actually be laughing and joking and having fun while we're going through this process and putting things on and, you know, people smiling and enjoying themselves without the use of any chemicals at an event. I mean, right. There are people that really, they don't get it. They come up to me and they're going, oh, my God, I can't believe it. You know, everybody's having a great time. And there's not been one to fight or there hasn't been one OD or hasn't been, you know what I mean? None of those things are taking place. You get to have a whole lot of fun in recovery. You also get to show other people what recovery looks like. And that's the cool part.
You know, once I got out, I had not laughed or smiled for years and years and years at the end while I was using, you know. The last 10, yeah. 15 years was that dark, suffering depression. And just the fact that I can laugh and smile that I never thought I could ever again, that's a gift. That makes me happy right there, you know something? That's just awesome. Everything seems so absurd now that things, gratitude for alive, clean, food, shelter, clothing, everything else is like bonus material, you know? It's all like sprinkles on the sundae or whatever. It's just freaking awesome. All the whack stuff that we go through clean.
It's the nuts amazing. On my cone, baby.
On my cone. Oh, give me a little bit of everything. Oh, my God. It's so good to hear your voice. I miss you guys. And congratulations on the new digs and all that.
Hey, man. You know something? We're looking forward to 2018 is going to be kind of cool, man. We're looking forward to starting a cafe up here. We're looking forward to the 10-year anniversary. We got a lot of stuff going on next year. We get to have plans today, and we give the results to God. Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, listen, this is the funny part. You know, when we came up, right, we came up like 2 months or 3 months. It was 3 months before we made a decision to move. It was amazing. See, I used to, like, put a hefty bag together and be on a bus. And I would make the decision the day before, and it was usually the cops knocking at my door.
Yeah. Decisions were made for me. Yeah.
Now, yeah, exactly. Now I got to come up here and look at places. We spent a weekend. We went around. We checked places out. It was amazing. We went back down to South Florida. We made a decision. Then we actually put the move together. I mean, with a real truck, and we didn't leave all our stuff behind. We actually made a move. It was amazing. And then we got here, and we were able to move in the middle of the day. We didn't have to sneak in the middle of the night.
Right.
I mean, there were so many things that were different than it used to be back in the day.
Right. I never thought stuff could happen.
Right. You know, great stuff, man.
Amazing stuff. Just astonishing to get on the other side.
Yes.
Oh my God. If we could just give a shine. And I think that's part of what, you know, I'm so grateful. The stuff you do is show the people and the public and the families and the still struggling that there is some wonderful stuff on the other side. All you got to do is surrender, make a move, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just make that one move, man.
Good stuff, Daniel Holt. Daniel Holt.
God, I love you, John.
With
you're like a meeting right here. You know that?
all glory to God, bro.
There you go. The HP rocks. I think he's the
love
ultimate
of recovery.
Yeah.
Free Love of Recovery Music Festival, September the 9th, 2017. We have at Kirby Park. In Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, we have Muddy Shoes and Friends. We have the Mitts Band the Stickies, and the RIR Special Guest Rockers. And, of course, Daniel will be playing with the RIR Special Guest Rockers. We're looking forward to that. David Yusikian of the Hooters is coming to play drums. And we got, you know, George on keys. We got, of course, Andy Pace from CC Music Factory and Gary U.S. Bonds. He's going to be playing drums. We got a lot of different things going on, man. It's going to be unbelievable. Don Taylor from Leonard Skinner's coming. We got Mr. Holt. Mr. Holt on bass. The bassist extraordinaire. I love you,
just
Daniel.
Just gratitude. Love and gratitude.
All right,
and
dude.
Laughing it all the way.
Well, listen, we're out for tonight. We thank you for calling in, and we look forward to seeing you up in Wilkes-Barre, and we want to invite everybody out. It's a free event. Come on out if you're in the tri-state area, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Ohio. Listen, you know, if you're in California and you want to come, you're more than welcome. Everybody's welcome. It's free and open to the public. Daniel, thanks for calling in. And what's that?
What they say, bring a stranger, make a friend, you know?
Ah, there you go. Or if you have no friends, bring a stranger.
There you go.
All right, brother. Much love. We will talk soon.
Love out.
All right. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in tonight. Thanks for being a part of Rockers in Recovery. If you need to contact Rockers in Recovery, you can call 786-488-6984. That's 786-488-6984. We also ask you to go to rockersinrecovery.com, click on the About page, the Event page, and all of the shows that are there on the feed. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight and being a part of the show. Mike Zito, Blues Man in Recovery, keep coming back. Check this song out.
Keep coming back and give y'all better to the blues. Keep coming back, Lord. What do you got to lose? Well, I walk the road of thunder, I walk the road of pain. Yeah, my ego got the best of me. And I like to live in vain. It's when I hit rock bottom, hopeless in defeat. That old man took my hand and pulled me out of sea. Keep coming back and give y'all better to the blues. Keep coming back alone. Hey, what do you got? Keep coming back.
Rockers in Recovery Radio is based on opinion only and is not meant to treat or diagnose any health or mental health issue of any kind. If you feel you need help for any health-related issues, please contact a physician or mental health professional. The opinions expressed by our guests are not necessarily those of Rockers in Recovery.